Well, last week we were teaching about leaving the unfamiliar for the familiar. Remember in Mark chapter 8, we were looking at the healing of the blind man. And remember, Jesus gave a nudge to this man and he walked him out of town. Did you know sometimes God has to get you out of where you've been in order to heal your issues? Do you remember that? Yeah, that went over like a lead balloon. Few people walked out on that one. We are comfortable with our lives. We're familiar with things. And it's really, change is difficult. The older you get, change becomes really difficult. And so we talked last week about leaving what is familiar in order to go to the unfamiliar. And Jesus took the blind man way out of his comfort zone in order to heal him. Now, he could have healed him right there in the midst of the society that he was in. But did you know sometimes God will take us out of codependent relationships and environments that we've had control over, and he'll move us. It could be a geographical move, an emotional move, a relational move, but he'll take us with our issues to a new place. And this message this morning, I want to tie in. It's called Rise Up, O Man of God, but the ladies, you're going to get a word here too. Don't worry about it. I want to talk about, we talked about leaving the familiar for the unfamiliar. This morning, we're going to talk about ruts. You know, we're entering into a season where, I don't know if you've noticed it, but God's making us all a little uncomfortable. That's because we are like sheep. We walk in circles and we tend to get into ruts. Let me read you a definition of a rut. Grind, the groove, being lockstep, in pattern, treadmill, a regimen, custom, a habit, a practice, a style, a convention for us. You know, the only difference between a rut and a casket is the depth. Okay? So when we get in circularity in our lives, you know, we love the familiar. And when we get into circularity, we can generate a lot of heat and very little light. You know, how could I not be generating light? Look at how fast I'm running. There's a difference between motion and advancement. And sometimes we're brilliant at what we do, but we're like sheep. We get left to ourselves and we get into ruts. And you know, ruts are familiar. Same thing happens at the same time. You know the relationships in your life. You know, I'll do this, she'll say that, and then I'll do that, and she'll say this. There's something comfortable about a rut. But you know, God loves to intrude on our lives, doesn't he? We're going to look this morning at Acts chapter 3, and we're going to look at the first miracle after the day of Pentecost, which was healing a man who had been lame. Did you know in Genesis 2:5, the Bible says there was no herb and the water had not yet fallen because a man was not in his place? Did you know the waters of revival we're looking for are not going to fall until a man is in his proper place and a woman is in her proper place? We're going to talk about getting out of ruts and finding our place, because there is no place like your place. Your place is the perfect place for you in life, in relationship, in terms with God. And do you know the first sign that the devil has been somewhere is if a man is out of his place? Look at that. Right after the fall, you know the enemy's been around because a man is out of his place. Now, I'm talking about man in terms of all of us. As people made in the image of God, we all have sensitivities, talents, gifts, and abilities. But I want to focus on the importance of getting up from lameness. Now, the imagery, and I'll read from our text is in Acts chapter 3, and it says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from these going into the temple's courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Now notice, the first miracle God does after the day of Pentecost is heals a man and puts him upright and puts him in his proper place. And there's the Holy Spirit is at work right now, men and women, boys and girls. He is lifting us out of ruts. He's challenging what's familiar to us, and he knows just how to do it. Now, let's take a look at the story. This guy, from birth, has been lame, okay? We don't know much about him, but we're going to find out a few things. And he is at the gate Beautiful. This was the main gate. Jesus would have walked through this almost every day when he was in Jerusalem. Never healed the guy. Did you know God does not always do things on our time frame? Jesus walked by this guy all the time, and he's asking for money all the time. You know, see the same guy at 7-Eleven, and you go, oh, there, I'll give him something next time. You know, I'm sorry, I only use my debit card. I don't have any cash. Isn't that awkward? I wish you well. God bless you. I don't carry cash. Well, Jesus walked past this guy, but he never healed him. But now it was time for God to use his people. And so here they come, Peter and John, and they walk up to the man. And let's take a look at, we've got 8 points of interest. Number one, he was lame of foot. This guy had a foot problem, which made him lame, but there was nothing else wrong with him at all. You know, his mind was working okay. I guess his arms were working okay. Everything worked except the one thing. Did you know we can have it off in one area, and that area where we're off in is enough to derail everything God wants to use us for? Come on now, men and women. You can have one thing off. Well, it's just one little thing. Yeah, but it was enough to throw his whole life off. See, people don't have to look really horrible to be in a rut. That doesn't mean you're not pretty. You could own your own jet. You know, fly all over the place. But still, there can be one thing wrong with your attitude or with your way of thinking about things that it cripples every other area in your life. And we're all looking in and we all see it. You always say to people, are you looking through your glasses or at your glasses? Okay, you're looking through your glasses. I'm looking at your glasses. So I can see you in a way you cannot see yourself. And likewise, I'm looking through my life and you're looking at my life. So you can see me in a way I can't see myself. You can have one thing wrong, just his foot. That's all. But it was enough to disable him in every area of his life. He's in a rut. And you know, when you have an illness, it's almost easier to blame the illness as to why you're not advancing. Well, if it just wasn't for this leg, I could take the gospel to the nations. Well, you know what? You know what? I'm telling you, we've got to figure it out. If Jesus starts doing some major healing in us and lifts us up, we may have to give back the handicap sticker. I mean, change may be necessary. Give up the sticker. I couldn't get the best parking at the restaurant. There are consequences to change. And we're going to see in a minute that this man's life is just about to change. But it is time for us to look at the ruts. You know, ruts can be people, places, or things. You know, to quit thinking of just a little mark in the ground. It could be a person can be a rut to you. A place, a thing can be your rut. You get around certain people and they're your rut. You know, you fall in and we all go, what happened? What's the matter with you? We know where you've been in your rut. You've been stuck when you stick around hateful people that are speaking hateful things. And by God, after a while, if you don't get a cloud of hate over you and you don't start talking like they do, and it's a rut and Jesus comes along and drags you out of it, isn't he faithful to come and get you? But look at the story of this man. The first healing after Pentecost, its symbolism is God is going to remove us from our ruts. He is going to put us in our proper places. You know, if you put the right light bulb in the right lamp, it's just you turn the button on, the light comes on. He's hooking things up. But he may have to take the light bulb that's over there on that side of the room and bring it to the lamp it's supposed to fit in. You know, he's playing chess right now with your life. He's moving you strategically in relation to his will. And the move may look weird, okay? Now, I don't know anything about chess, so don't look to me for chess analogies. Checkers a bit. Still don't understand checkers. But, you know, Christ knows every move and where it's going to lead, and he knows, as a great chess master, looking at your life right now, how many moves you are away from his will. And he'll do some strange moves to get you where you need to be in the chessboard of life. So this guy's been comfortable. He's been laying here. Everybody knows him only in terms of his rut. Well, there's a lame man. Well, he's going to be different by the end of the day because he's going to be the running, screaming, shouting man. You know, when you get delivered, you get happy. I don't know about you. When good things happen to me, I go, yeah, and I do some little dance, but I won't show you that dance right now. You have to come back to the special dancing service later. No. So first, he's lame of foot. Second, look at this. He was lame from the womb. He was always lame. Did you know some of the ruts God's trying to get us out, the reason it's taken so long is because we've had this thing forever. It goes back in the womb. A multi-generational issue. You know, grandpa was into pornography. Your daddy was into pornography. You're into pornography. I mean, just crazy stuff. Where you can trace a string going back in time. And the more you learn about your history and where you've come from, the more you see there can be in a home or a family multi-generational weaknesses and sins that you just picked up. You thought like fleas. You just picked them up somewhere. No. there's some stuff been in your house, and it goes way back to the womb, and it goes way back to daddy in the womb and grandpa and great grandpa, and you don't know it, and you study a family, and you'll find the weirdest stuff skips from generation to generation. Now, I don't want to get too mystical on you. Oh no, I've got to look at my past. Well, you know, God will lead you what to look at. I'm really confident he's big enough to not let you die, have a too examined life. But you know, if there is something and it is a lameness or it's got you in a rut and it goes way back, you may need to pray a little bit and be a little more patient about the deep surgery God has been trying to do in you. Someone say amen. Now, we can't just be being healed forever. I mean, in the sense, we've got to be useful. We've got to be available. We've got to be visible for the sake of the gospel. But you know what? In your prayer time by yourself, when it's nobody's business, you may ask the Lord, is this lameness that I have, is this one thing that's really wrong with me, something that goes back to the womb? Does this go back to mom and dad? Where does this go? I want to follow this rope and pull it and see how far it goes. Because you know what? We will pray and God will respond. If you lift up whatever the issue is, and you know what? It can be just a little thing off. Don't expect to find some kind of spiritual leprosy in your life or something. It can be one attitude that you've always had that goes way back to the womb, and it just messes everything up. You may have a mouth on you cannot control. See, I'm just going to let you apply this as the Holy Spirit would apply it to you, all right? And don't always look for the big, big sins, you know? Jesus is not as concerned about a lot of things we are. He's concerned about things like be nice, have equity in your dealings with others. You think he's looking at every nasty thing you think up right now. You don't love one. God sees everything, but he's not always as concerned about what you're concerned about. You need to realize this man only had one issue that he had to deal with. It was, however, something that went way back. And this, look at the third point. He was lame at the gate of the temple. He was close to healing. He's at the gate, but he's not quite in. It's like going to church and just staying outside and straining your ear to hear every other word. He's in the right place to get healing. He's where he ought to be, but he just isn't in all the way. You know, sometimes we can be around the things of God even enough to hear the strains of the worship on the inside and just our own hearts. We just haven't stepped all the way into what God has for us. You know, I would encourage you, just let God push you. In pushing you out of your rut, he's wanting to push you in to his presence. And the guy's close. I mean, you know, he's not at the bar, thank God, okay? So, you know, give him some kudos. He is in the right area. He just needs to be pushed a little bit further in. And you know, you're probably closer than you think you are. Your healing is closer than you think. You're probably right next to it. You know, usually you can put your hands out and what you need is right within reach. God has been working a long time in your life to deal with the one thing that's gone way back. But guess what? You're closer than you were. Remember, we're going to celebrate better. I'm freer. Remember? You don't say, I'm free. You say, I'm freer. I'm better. And you're not where you were, but by the grace of God, he can push you in just short order. And he was so close. But look at this. Look at the anatomy of this guy. Point four, he was carried daily to the gate. Now, that means he was a responsibility on the shoulders of other people. Did you know that there is a portrait here that's unhealthy? Other people were being inconvenienced by his brokenness. Gentlemen, ladies, when we won't get out of our rut and when we won't move ahead with God, we become an encumbrance to other people. It was contrary to his masculine call to be carried by everybody else. You know how in Vietnam, sometimes the enemy would shoot one of our guys because it took three to take one off the field. So, you know, rather than kill somebody, you wound somebody and you take out how many people are now not available in the battle. That's what the enemy tries to do. And he uses these tactics. And this man was an encumbrance to other people. He was not walking in his own anointing, his own strength. Did you know sometimes you can be spiritually codependently attached to another person or people where they have to drag you? They have to carry you on their coattails. And somebody said, amen. Boy, this is a rip snorter today, isn't it? Yeah, loads of fun. This will get me on TBN in 2 seconds. When others are put out and you can't walk independently by yourself spiritually, right? There's something out of order. Now, when we're baby Christians, we're fed milk. When we're baby Christians, you carry a baby, right, in a diaper. But what about a 40-year-old man in a diaper? Are you going to carry him around? I'm not. You know, it isn't cute at that point. You see what I'm saying? The Lord's trying to move us out of our ruts, and he's trying to strengthen us so that we will not be a drain on those around us, but a source, a resource of life and encouragement and joy. Now, let me just tell you, this can happen with men and women. You can get all emotionally codependent with a woman, or a woman get all emotionally codependent with you, and you're dragging each other around. You're sort of supporting each other, and you're both wounded. You're both shot. But, you know, after a while, God says, I want to lift you out of the rut. I want to raise you up to stand as the man you are called to be, where you're called to stand, to have you stand as the woman you are called to be, where you're supposed to stand, and what glory God gets when others looking around see one of us get out of our ruts. Oh, God is so gracious, isn't he? Aren't you glad he didn't give you what you deserved the last 20 years? I have a friend that says, may the Lord give you what you deserve this Christmas. I go, no. No. I want mercy. I told a child last night, I said, you want justice for everybody else, but you want mercy for you. So I said, you got to watch what you give because you'll get. So I want mercy for everybody nowadays. Mercy for all the lame people. Amen. Mercy for everyone in a rut. God bless them, because I don't want God to have to put me in a rut. Don't you talk about my kids in a rut. Have you ever been in a rut? Oh my gosh, you know what? A rut can last for years. I'm not talking about you spent a bad night in Tijuana. I'm talking about you are for 25 years have been in the same circle, going around, socially, relationally, financially, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. You're just like a hamster in a hamster wheel. And my gosh, if you were actually walking, you could have walked across the world like Arthur Blessett with the cross. You know what I mean? You've expended so much energy. You should be in Beijing, but you're still where you are. Now, I'm not here to shame you, because God, I believe, is going to bless all of us this morning with a little nudge out of the rut. He's going to say, he's going to call us forth. He's going to say, there's only one thing that's been holding you back. And I know the history of that thing, but you're going to begin to stand on your own in the next little while spiritually, where instead of draining resources, because see, when we're so in need, we have to take 2 to 3 to 4 other people away from what they should be doing in order to come and fix us. And you know what? The enemy loves a man or a woman out of their place, because when you're out of your place, you put everybody out of their place and there's chaos and confusion. But praise God, I believe today he's going to begin to remove us from the same circle. The symbol of the Christian life isn't a circle, it's a spiral. You're supposed to go around once and up. See what I mean? And so we're going to pray for a spiral anointing here today. But hold on to your hearts. God is about to do new things, but it may require you to go some places you're not comfortable, hang around some people you normally wouldn't. You know, the church world is as bigoted as anywhere else. There's some people say, well, I don't like that worship, and that place is too small, or it's too big, or it's too loud, or it's too ugly, or da, 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 and it's not the high church, and there's no bells and smells and incense and nonsense, and what are we going to do? You know what? If you just open your heart to the Lord's Spirit the next 6 months and prepare for newness, say, Lord, I'm open to get out of the rut. I am the candidate. Heal whatever one thing is wrong with me so that all the rest of my life will be in order. So look at that. He was carried daily to the gate. So everyone knew him because of his inability. And there's a lot of people that know you, maybe, on the basis of your inability. Remember last week we said Jesus, they brought the blind man to Jesus, and we didn't have a name for him. He was just called the blind man. You know, sometimes people don't even know your name or a nickname. They just identify you according to your, that pain in the neck guy, yeah. Oh, the Death Star. Yeah, I know him very well. Oh, what's his name? Ooh, yeah. So thus far, everybody only knows this as Rut Guy. You know, he's been there through the ministry of Jesus, never got a miracle. And now, look what happens. He had to beg to get his needs met, point five. You know, here's another degrading aspect of his masculinity. You know, hey, it's okay to ask for help when you need help. But this guy was in such a rut that he was able to beg. He had to beg. He just had to ask everybody. You know how humiliating that is to be in a place where you have to say, please help me. Please give me a handout. Please give. Do you see how the enemy loves to strike at the heart of our masculinity in ways that would humiliate us? Maybe you've gone through some experiences lately where you've been humbled like that. You felt humiliated. You go, I feel like I'm begging. This is terrible. Well, see, God is going to step in and he is going to renew the masculinity. He's going to get you out of the rut, but it's going to be something, loved ones, something that you may have to endure a little bit of a season of loss, but he will restore and he will give you back your dignity so you're not begging. But you know, there's something about something I learned years ago. I learned a lesson. There was a season in the church where we were doing really well financially, and I was always giving things to folk and helping out with rent with people and this and that and the other and so on. And then that well dried up a bit, and the Lord, for a period of time, said, "Craig, you're going to learn to need to receive. Because I'm not going to allow you just to give." You know, when you give, you're in control. Did you know that? Even if you're giving charity to someone, you're in control when you're giving. Oh, here, God bless you. Here's something for you. There's a whole dynamic of control. But if you're not able to receive equally, then you're out of order. If you're just giving, 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 you're in control, control, control. That's just like having a big Arnold Schwarzenegger right forearm. You know what I mean? You've got that huge arm, and then you've got a tiny little baby arm in the receiving department. You know, and you lead with your strength, you know, lead with the bicep of Schwarzenegger. Well, when you give, 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 you're in control. So for me, God pulled it back for a while, and he said, "I'm going to give you a season where you need to receive, because I want to build that arm up too. Because if you can't receive, I'm not going to allow you to give." It's like at a restaurant. There's a door that goes in the kitchen. There's a door that comes out of the kitchen. You got to have both doors working. So what God did with me is he just dried things up for a while where I had to be open to be dependent on receiving. That was so uncomfortable because I was used to paying for every lunch, every dinner. You know how it goes. And you pick everything up, and you're always the giver. Well, guess what? You may be in a little season, God pushed you in a little rut, where you have to receive for a while. I know it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. It's like walking downtown naked or something. You know, it's just like, oh my God, this is humiliating. I can't believe this. And you may be where you have to trust, and your kids need to see that you're trusting God to receive. And your spouse needs to see that you're in a position where you don't give right now. You need to receive. Don't think that the devil has won a victory. You need to be able to equally give and receive. And this man, I want you to see what's happened. For the sixth point, he was approached by Peter and John. Now, here's the good news. Our little lame man with the one thing wrong with him that goes all the way back to the womb, that he's not been able to get out of that rut, God sent the answer. Guess what the answer is? Peter and John, two men who had been in their ruts and had been touched by Jesus and had been through it and who were now whole men walking. God will send you whole men walking to you as an answer for your problem. You know, you can take communion at home, you can read the Bible at home, you can pray at home, but you can't fellowship at home. Koinonia, we're the body of Christ, where the iron sharpens the iron and the hand and the foot and all of the components of the body coming together to worship. God will send real flesh and blood people to you to help you in recovery. Peter and John once were lame, but now here they're walking and they're on fire with the Holy Spirit and they're on their way to the temple. And God sent him his answer. But I want you to look that he misread the whole thing. The next point, point seven, his expectation was false. The lame man wanted money. Now, let me explain something. He's been laying on that corner all of his life, begging for silver and gold. And you know what? More of the same is not going to help us. He's in his rut. The first thing he says is, I need some money. And Peter and John sort of smile and say, no, you don't. More of the same of what you had is not going to get you healed. And isn't that true? We're creatures of habit. We keep wanting more of the same thing. We keep asking for more of the same, more of the same, and it does not help. So what silver and gold can do for a lame foot, I don't know. I mean, you could pay a doctor at UCLA or something with that, but rubbing silver on your foot make it any better? No, or he would have been healed. See, if more of the same would heal you, you would be floating in midair, glowing in the dark. So more of the same isn't what this man needed. But what he did need walked right up to him, Peter and John. So one thing I like to say is, we all pray for miracles. There's three ways God answers prayer, okay? This is worth the whole offering, okay? First, he changes the situation. That's what we all want. You know, zap the mountain and blow it away. Okay, that's the first way he answers prayer. Second way he answers prayer is he shows you how to do something. He gives you wisdom on what to do so you can affect the situation. Third way he answers prayer is he changes you and he doesn't change anything. He doesn't change the mountain, it's still there. He doesn't, your lame foot is still lame. But you have a new spiritual perspective. You have a new way of looking at things. This man's whole life, he was giving a paradigm shift in his life, but his expectations were false. See, sometimes we're expecting something. We're praying. Ever been praying for something that would not heal you? You know, that's like somebody praying, Lord, and I pray for more crack for my crack pipe here, and I just pray that you give me so much crack that I'll never have to buy any the next year, and I can just sit by myself and smoke alone and contemplate you. You heard the story I told a few weeks ago about the pastor that heard a little boy praying down front, and he was praying fervently for something on Sunday night, and all he could see is the boy sweating and saying, Tokyo, 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 Tokyo. And pastor waits till the boy's done, and later he goes, hey, son, I noticed you were fervently praying. I said, can I ask you what it was for? He said, well, I did a geography test on Friday, and I'm praying that by tomorrow God will make Tokyo the capital of California. Pastor said, highly unlikely, son. Most of our prayers are Tokyo prayers, right? We, in principle, God can do everything, but highly unlikely. Tokyo, Tokyo. See, his expectation was false. He's laying there lame going, what I need is money. Tokyo, Tokyo. You know, God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. That's what he wanted. What he needed were two men who had been through recovery, who knew who they were, who were coming to walk into his life and bring a lasting change. We don't just need a zap in the moment. We need people, love with skin on it, people in our lives sent by God that will help us out of the rut, teach us to walk, and then guess what happens? They say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise and walk. And they took him by the hand, and he was raised up completely whole. And he began to do what we would all do. He began to dance. He began to shout. He began to make a spectacle of himself. And did you know that everyone will take notice when you are in your rightful place and you are walking in the way God wants you to walk? Everybody that's been helping you will look on and shout with you. And did you know that guy now? What's his name by the lame gate? Yeah, he's running laps around the court of the Gentiles. You mean the guy with the begging? Yes, he's no longer a beggar. He thought he knew what he needed. God knew what he needed, and he gave him what he needed. Loved one, we're in a place now where God is graciously lifting us out of our ruts, where he says, that's wonderful, but let's get you off the treadmill onto the solid ground so you can take ground. That activity is wonderful, but let's just switch it a little bit from the treadmill to your shoes on the concrete. You already have the ability. You already have the gifts. Jesus is already working in your life. And now we're just going to pray for you. Father, I pray for everybody in this place. Lord, you know our ruts. You know the emotional ruts that we've been in, the spiritual ruts maybe we've been in. You know the relational ruts, the financial ruts, the addictive ruts. We know we're all comfortable with the habitual. We're all comfortable with what's controllable by us. But Jesus, we want to be like this man. We want to rise up. Rise up, O man of God, have done with lesser things. Use heart and mind and strength and soul to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, thou man of God, the church for thee doth wait, her strength unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great. Grab us by the hand, Lord. Send the people walking towards us that can raise us up and teach us to run after we learn to walk. Lord, I pray right now for a sense of hope and joy that you are dislodging all of our ruts in Jesus' name. As deep as they may seem like tombs because they're so deep, but we thank you, Jesus, that you raised Lazarus with one word. You could have thunk him out of the grave. You could have thought him out of the grave, but you called him out. And I know you're going to call your sons and daughters out of the rutness in their life, Lord, to rise up to newness of life. And Father, we pray right now that this church will become a church of fluidity and your Spirit's moving where there will be no ruts allowed. Carve the ground down, Lord, so that it's beautiful, rut-free. And whatever secret issues there are here in this house right now, Lord, you know the deepest secrets of your children. Therefore, we trust you to work the work you need to do. In Jesus' name, amen.